भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 8, Chapter 9, entitled The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti. Today we will cover texts 22 and 23. Please repeat. Te palayantas samayam असुराः स्वकृतं नृप तुष्णीम् आसन् कृतस्नेहाः स्त्रीविवादजुगुप्सया ते पालयन्तः समयम् असुराः स्वकृतं नृप तुष्णीम् आसन् कृतस्नेहाः स्त्रीविवादजुगुप्सया ते पालयन्तः समयम् असुराः स्वकृतं नृप तुष्णीमासन् कृतं स्नेहाः स्त्रीविवादजुगुप्सया ते पालयन्तः समयम् असुराः स्वकृतं नृप तुष्णीमासन् कृतस्नेहाः श्रीरिवादजुगुप्सया ते पालयन्तः समयम् असुराः स्वकृतस्ने तुष्णीमासन्कृतस्नेहाः श्रीविवादजुगुप्सया Ladies. They, the demons, palayantaha, keeping in order, samayam, equilibrium, asuraha, the demons, swakratam, made by them, nripa, O king, tushnim asan, remained silent, kritasnehaha, because of having developed attachment to Mohini Murti, strivivada, disagreeing with a woman, jugupsaya, because of thinking such an action as abominable. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. O King, since the demons had promised to accept whatever the woman did, whether just or unjust, now to keep this promise, to show their equilibrium, and to save themselves from fighting with a woman, they remain silent. Please repeat. O King, since the demons had promised to accept whatever the woman did, whether it was just or unjust, now, to keep this promise, to show their equilibrium, and to save themselves from fighting with a woman, they remain silent. Again, this is Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text 24. O King, since the demons had promised to accept whatever the woman did, whether just or unjust, now, to keep this promise, to show their equilibrium, and to save themselves from fighting with a woman, they remain silent. There is no purport. So I'll go on to the next verse, which is Tasyam kritati pranayaha pranayapaya kataraha bahumanena chabaddha no chuhukkinjana vipriyam. Translation, the demons had developed affection for Mohini Murti and a kind of faith in her, and they were afraid of disturbing their relationship. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her words and did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. Purport. The demons were so captivated by the tricks and friendly words of Mohini Murti that although the demigods were served first, the demons were pacified merely by sweet words. The Lord said to the demons, "The demigods are very miserly and are excessively anxious to take the nectar first. So let them have it first. Since you are not like them, you can wait a little longer. You are all heroes and are so pleased with me. It's better for you to wait until after the demigods drink." Om Jnana Tibirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadama Hyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutaparakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpatrupyashta Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The demons had developed affection for Mohini Murthy and a kind of faith in her, and they were afraid of disturbing their relationship. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her words and did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas commenting on this verse point out that there were six reasons given in these two verses that the demons did not say anything. Number one, they wanted to keep their promise. And the word here is used, palayantas samayam. Samaya, those who speak Hindi know what does samaya mean. Time. Samaya means many things, and many words in Sanskrit also mean many things. In fact, most words in Sanskrit mean many things. An average of about 24 meanings, distinct meanings per word. So it's not surprising that the acharyas have given four different definitions of this word, samaya. Of course, Srila Prabhupada has translated it here as equilibrium. That's an interesting way to put it, equilibrium. Generally, the word samaya means, one of the acharyas has commented here that samaya means sanketa, sanketa. Sanketa means an agreement. It means a stipulation. It means a compact. It even means a gesture or an indication, like when you give somebody a wink or you nod in a certain way, they can understand what you intend. So that's called sanketa. Jiva Goswami says it's rather pratignya, a promise. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it's niyama. Niyama means a rule. A rule that you agree to follow. So we have a little bit of difference of opinion here. Anyway, the idea is that all of these things imply together, taken together, they all imply that there's a compact of trust of some sort here that's we want to keep in place. And why do we want to keep it in place? What is the context here? We are talking about the demons on one side, the devatas on the other side. They've been tussling in this churning of the ocean of milk. And they are opposed. Sometimes we have different parties opposing each other, even amongst devotees. And so it's a kind of equilibrium has to be maintained between these two opposite forces. And the way to do that is through this samayam, an agreement of some sort, a promise, if you will, an equilibrium, as Prabhupada puts it. So this requires a great deal. It's a balance of maintaining trust. Trust is a difficult thing. Warren Buffett, of all people, said that trust is like air. You don't notice it until you can't have it. And then as long as you have it, it's no concern at all. But when you don't have air, it's the only concern you have. You've only got a few seconds before you get air again. Anyone ever had this experience of not being able to breathe? Yeah, so you know. Those who have asthma, some people, my God, Brother Gopi Paranandana Prabhu died of asthma. If you cannot have breath, it's the most essential thing. So trust is very important, especially when we're in an environment where there's conflict like this. And where is the conflict maximized beyond that which we see amongst the devas on one hand and the demons on the other hand? Therefore, Mohini Murti had to appear here. There was no other way. But they had made a compact with Mohini Murti herself, these demons, and that's what we're referring to. So they didn't want to break that agreement. What was the agreement? The agreement was that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur puts it nicely. He says, Samayam sadhuva sadhuva yathasukam vibhajasveti niyamam. It was the rule that you can distribute this nectar as you like, yathasukam. Sadhu asadhuva, whether it's proper or whether it's improper, we don't care. Whatever you decide, we're surrendered to you. She had such power over these asuras that instantly they were surrendered to her. Not only the demons, but even the best of demigods. Why do I say the best of demigods? Because he's called Mahadeva or Mahesha, the lord of the demigods. Sometimes we say Indra as the king of the demigods, and that's certainly true, but Lord Shiva was so bewildered by Mohini Murti, as we'll see in the coming chapters, that even in front of his wife, even in front of his disciples and followers, can you imagine? He's chasing after Mohini Murti without any shame, to the point that he's embracing her and passing semen all over the universe. Why do I say all over the universe? It's described. Wherever you find a gold mine in this material world, that is where his semen fell. Interesting thing. And gold is everywhere, as we know. Similarly, just what is the power of Lord Shiva? The poison that he drank out of the ocean, wherever that fell, we now have these poisonous entities who drank that poison. You see? Very interesting ideas here. So even Shiva cannot possibly be bewildered by the Mahamaya, the illusory potency of the Supreme Lord. That is to say, the external illusory potency of the Supreme Lord. But he was so much bewildered by Lord Vishnu. And it's described that he didn't feel ashamed about this even. Because generally, if a man wastes his semen, that's considered to be a fall down. But for Lord Shiva, it was not actually a fall down, it was a fall up. He was led into this by Mohini Murti, but he asked for it. So be careful what you ask for, especially if you go to Mayapur and pray to Lord Narasinghadev. You have to be very careful what you ask for, because you may end up getting it, and it may not be everything that you expected. Anyway, so Samaya, the trust has to be established there. Sometimes, it's been said, there was a recent colloquium in Harvard University about this topic of ethics, especially ethics and trust and judgment in organizations. This is something we have to deal with as well. And one scholar said that there are 10 aspects of trust. One is that one is confident that his or her identity will be accepted. Another one is that there's acknowledgement, there's inclusion, there's fairness, there's a sense of security maintained, a sense of independence also has to be maintained. Some understanding has to be there. Benefit of the doubt should be given. There's accountability, and there's recognition. One scholar who works in conflict resolution has recognized that over 30 years of experience in this field, everywhere in the world, that these 10 elements have to be addressed. Otherwise, there's no question of rebuilding trust that has been lost. Trust is the opposite of weight. When you gain weight, it's not very easy to lose it. And when you lose trust, it's not very easy to regain it. So this is another thing. But these are the things. And we have to consider these things in these human considerations. What are human considerations? We have pathos, the sense that this person is a sentient living being, just like me. There's a sense of humanness which is there, and especially sympathos, or sympathy, but at least empathy. And there's a sense of logos. There has to be some logical cohesion here. It has to make sense, what we're dealing with and how we're speaking to each other. And then there has to be an ethos. There has to be some samayam, as we've been discussing, some agreement or some rule, some ethical or moral principles to which we adhere. And that has to be in three phases of time. It has to be past, which means there has to be recognition for things that have been done wrong. It has to be in the present, which means there has to be some reparation of what's been done, or maybe some reparation, we can say. And in the future, there has to be rectification. We'll not have any problems again. Anyway, that even the demons, who were so bewildered by Mohinimurti, they decided that, for one thing, they were going to abide by their promise for the sake of keeping the promise, and the promise, the significance of that promise was to maintain equilibrium. So, then what's the next reason? To show their, to keep the promise, to show their equilibrium, these are kind of the same reason, as I said. To save themselves from fighting with a woman. This is an interesting thing. Stri vivada jugubsaya. We don't want to argue with a woman, as Prabhupada says here. I think it's, what does he translate? Yeah, to keep themselves from fighting with a woman. It's an interesting thing. One of the commentators has given us a little bit of a gloss on this by way of quoting from the Smriti Shastra. He says, Stri vado laghuta hetahu. It is the cause of diminishing a person if there is strivada. Now, the word vada, as you know, vada means to talk about something, to push an agenda, like maya vada. They're pushing the idea of maya, the mayavadis. Illusionism, one devotee called it. So vada means to talk in general terms. Vada also means to argue, especially when it's used in the sense of vivada. And that's exactly what Sridhar Swami does when he is glossing this. He says, Striyasaha vivadasya jugupsaya. They were avoiding this out of a sense of displeasure with the idea of arguing, in particular with a woman. So that's very clear. Now the word jugupsa is used here. Jugupsa. It generally means dislike. It can also mean disgust or abhorrence. They abhorred the idea of either talking with a woman or arguing with a woman. This is an interesting thing. And another acharya gives us a second verse to explain this idea. Six things, he says, are the cause of diminishing a person. To befriend children too much. If an adult hangs around children all the time, it's generally not, it's just something wrong there. Similarly, akarana hasyam, to laugh without any reason, then you know that there's something happening there. Strijanavadam, to talk to the stri folk, to the women folk, to hang around the women and talk with women all the time, that's also not, for a man at least, and the same thing holds for women, opposite. Sudushkrita seva, to serve an evil person. That's the cause of your downfall. Garbhayanam, to ride upon a donkey. In fact, in ancient India, this was a favorite mode of humiliation of someone. Nowadays, they tie a garland of shoes around someone that you don't like. But it used to be you tie him up and put him on the back of a donkey and parade him through town, and then he's finished for life. Because lakhuta janaka. And what else? Asanskritavani. That means a person who speaks either in an unrefined manner or a person who does not speak in Sanskrit. Now, if it's the latter, then we're all toast, of course. But I think, therefore, we can take it in the former sense that to speak in coarse way or to not be very cautious or careful about one's speech. Shatte ime lakhuta janakavai. These six things are the cause of one's diminishing. So he's trying to help us out with that reference. It's not exactly clear whether we're talking about the demons did not like the idea of talking to a woman or they did not like the idea of arguing with a woman, but I think based on what the commentaries say, we can accept it either way. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds here what Srila Prabhupada is really paraphrasing in his own purport. He says, he repeats Sridhar Swami verbatim about the Striyasaha Vivadasya Jugupsaya idea. He says, she was telling them, you people are not Kripanas. She was telling the demons this. Everybody know what is a kripana? A kripana means a small-minded person. A selfish person, a miserly person, you know, a person who is just very narrow and doesn't see much. This is a kripana. A broad-minded person, udara, person with a broad outlook, with a very Catholic spirit, with a liberal attitude. This person is called the Brahmana. Especially he's enlightened with spiritual knowledge, because that's the ultimate symptom of the Brahmana. Brahma janati iti brahmanaha. The person who knows Brahman, the person who knows, it identifies himself as such as well. So she's telling the demons that you people are not, after all, kripanas like those demigods over there. So just let them drink. Just let them, you know, let them have their say for now. We'll give them a little bit of nectar. He says, "Purvam kinchit pibantu yuyam." Let them have a little nectar just now. Tu dhira, but you people, on the other hand, you are dhiras. You're sober. We know. I know that you're not like them. You're not just hankering after this nectar. She was speaking the opposite of what she intended, because the demigods were the ones who were broad-minded. And the demons were the ones who were miserly. The demigods, they were going to drink all the nectar. But she's calling these asuras here as if they were dhira. Dhira means what? Sober, stable, sensible, down to earth, intelligent, all these things. Kshanam pratikshadvam. Just wait for a minute. Ityadi bahumanena chabaddha. They were bound by words such as this, very respectfully put. And he glosses the word abaddha. The word abaddha generally means bound, fixed, produced, or joined. Here he glosses it as niyantrita, restrained. It's an interesting idea. So she in effect restrained them by speaking in this way and by holding them to the promise that they had made through her illusory influence, even if that influence was Mahamaya. It's an interesting thing to consider, whether because they were demons, the energy was working in the capacity of Mahamaya or as Yogamaya. I'm not sure I know the answer to that question, so I'm not even going to go there. It's a side issue anyway. And then Samaya Palanadibhihi. There were these six reasons, and therefore they didn't want to say anything apriya. Apriya. Anybody know what Krishna has to say about this in Bhagavad Gita, speaking things which are priya and apriya? On one hand, he says in chapter 12 that the symptom of a devotee is that he doesn't say something that's going to agitate others unnecessarily. In chapter 17, he says the characteristic of sattvic speech is, who knows? Yeah. We can always count on Vijaya. He knows Bhagavad Gita. Vijaya Prabhu. Anudvega karam vakyam. It doesn't agitate others, which confirms what we've just said about chapter 12. Satyam. But it has to be true at the same time. That's always... Well, not always, but it's very often. It's a difficult thing to say what is true and also to say something that's pleasing, because sometimes the truth just isn't pleasing. As one professional put it, there's no polite way to throw a hand grenade, which sometimes one has to do. So, priya hitam chayat, it has to be priya, or dear, and hitam, it has to be beneficial. So, not agitating, true, beneficial, and pleasing. So these are the symptoms of speech that is in the mode of goodness. It's an austerity of the tongue, he says, to speak in this way. So even the demons, I mean, their purpose was not to be dharmic. Their purpose was to maintain whatever relationship they fancied that they had with this Mohini Murti. Because one of the connotations of the word niyantrita, which means, as I said, restrained, and which glosses the word abaddha in this verse to describe the demons, is that they were deliberately misled. They were deliberately led to think that they had any, that she was at all interested in them, and that they had any sort of relationship, and that therefore they were hoodwinked psychologically into thinking that we have to somehow or other sustain this wonderful new thing that we've started here with Mohini Murti. Each of the demons was thinking like this. And she's just thinking, I've got to keep them asleep at the wheel long enough that I can distribute the nectar to the devatas, and then it's done. And in fact, she was successful in all but one case. And that's the new subject, which is introduced in the tomorrow's verse. Rahu. Rahu was the one exception among the demons who somehow or other figured out what was going on and tried to work around it. But I don't want to spoil the plot, so I'm not going to go there just now. Okay, so these are the six reasons that the acharyas have given. They're mentioned directly in the verses themselves. They wanted to keep their promise, and so Mohini Murti took advantage of that. Another aspect of trust is that we have to relinquish some degree of control, and we place ourselves into a vulnerable position, is it not? When we accept a bona fide spiritual master, this is what we do. And this is exactly why one has to be very, very, very careful. I don't know of any reason that Srila Prabhupada waited 11 years before he took initiation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, unless to show us what a serious commitment that actually is. Because he said that he himself was convinced at the first meeting. So powerful was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching to him at that time, that on the spot he said, this person is the person who's in charge of Mahaprabhu's mission on the planet at this time. That was his conviction. And yet he waited. So we place ourselves into a vulnerable position when we surrender to someone, as the devas have done, as the demons have done here to Mohini Murti. Fortunately, they surrendered to Mohini Murti. And this is why we have to have, as I mentioned earlier, logos, some framework of reason within which we're working, and ethos, a framework of some sort of agreement within which we're working, because we do not want to do this with someone who is not trustworthy. This is the point. And in this day and age, where do you have the example of someone who is trustworthy? It's very rare. Most of the time we find people who are not trustworthy, and that's a problem. Now, there's another word here that's significant in the verse before I end, and that is krita sneha. Sneha. What does the word sneha mean? Indians here will know. Affection. That's one of the meanings. One of the meanings. It actually comes from the dhatu sneh, snehyati. Snehyati means to bind or to stick. Sneha actually therefore means viscosity, stickiness. And by extension, logically, it means affection also. So the demons, they had some attachment, at least in their own minds, to Mohini Murti. Sridhar Swami says regarding text number 22 that this attachment was actually engendered deliberately by Mohini Murti, as I've explained. And in text 23, he says, on the other hand, that it was the demons who had affected this too much affection, he says, ati pranaya. He glosses the word sneha as ati pranaya, too much affection for Mohini Murti. I mean, we can argue about whether it's too much or too little, because they're after all approaching Krishna. But this is the idea here. Okay, so we've discussed a few things about this verse, mainly based on the commentaries of predecessor acharyas. Srila Prabhupada is really only paraphrasing Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary, his purport, and he doesn't say anything on text 22, so I think we can end here. As I said, tomorrow it introduces a new character into the mix, Rahu, and what he's going to do. It becomes a lot more fun from this point on, so stay tuned. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Not a single one. Okay. Mataji, ladies first. microphone is coming. Shama.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. The demons became very attached to Mohini Murti. And will they get a liberation out of that, or will that change their status of demons to become like devotees?
That's a very good question. You know, I've just been reading the Laghu Bhagavatamritam, and it's discussed there. It's also described by Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The history of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, who, of course, later became Ravana and Kumbhakarna, is it? And then in their final birth, the Shishupal and Dantavakra. And it's described by Parashar Muni in the Vishnu Purana that actually, you know, the Hiranyakashipu did not get purified despite the fact that he was killed directly by Lord Narasimhadev, because he didn't awaken his understanding of who Lord Narasimhadev was. He thought that Lord Narasimhadev was only a very gifted individual who happened to be more powerful than him, which he couldn't believe. But he took it on that level. He was not purified in his heart as a result of that exchange, but he was killed by the Lord. And the result that he got of that was that he was given unparalleled opulence in his next birth as Ravana. But as Ravana, he maintained his demoniac spirit and his passion, and he made the fatal mistake of trying to approach the supreme goddess of fortune, Mother Sita Devi, the wife of Lord Ramchandra, with the same spirit that these demons are now approaching Mohini Murti, the exploitive, selfish, lusty spirit. And so even when he was killed by Ramchandra, he was not purified of that either. He maintained his envy, and therefore he took a third birth with the same, I mean, practically he was so powerful. There was nobody more powerful than him. That was the result of his association with the Supreme Lord in the wrong spirit. But because Krishna is more merciful than all the other forms of the Lord, therefore, he was gradually purified, particularly by his repeated association with Krishna's name. Even though he was completely envious, and even though he understood that Krishna was the Supreme Lord by this time, he became purified imperceptibly, because that is Krishna's unique nature. He is able to insinuate his wonderful beauty and his all attractive features into the heart of a person who associates with him in any sense, but particularly through his name. And when this purification reached its critical mass, so to speak, at that point it was the final few seconds of his life in which the disc of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was actually flying towards his throat. And at the last second he realized that who this was and who he was in relationship to Krishna. And he was purified at that point because it was Krishna. So that's the best, that's the most shastric answer I can give to your question as to whether these, I think you're asking, you know, did they go back to Godhead as a result of their interaction with Mohini Murti? They were not rendering devotional service here. And, you know, they were certainly fortunate enough to see the Supreme Lord, just like we're all fortunate to see the Supreme Lord every day. But generally it takes time if we're not willing and if mercy is not being given to us. Is that okay? Another question in the back, and then Archita Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. I actually have two questions. First, you said we can fall down if we serve evil. So what about if you serve devotee who has evil quality?
What can happen? Yeah, I think we can all extrapolate. We've also all heard so many things in the Shastra. Mahat sevam dwaram ahurim vimuktehe. They say, that the doorway to liberation is to serve the great persons, the great souls, the Mahatmas.
Okay. So,
and particularly if they're Vaishnavas, that is where we get a taste for hearing about Vasudeva. And we've just been describing that when you hear about Vasudeva, Krishna, he purifies you in ways that no other form of the Lord will do. That's our greatest benediction, to find a devotee of Krishna in particular and get his mercy.
But if he didn't find, and we still serve that devotee who has actually bought good quality and bad quality, what can happen in that case with us?
Not sure I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, well, Rupa Goswami says that we should associate with and faithfully serve that person who is completely free of bad qualities like that. This is Upadesha Amrita.
Thank you so much. In second chance, what wrong about when Shiva chase Mohini Murti? Actually, he chased Krishna himself.
Yes, therefore I said it. He was not actually fallen, and he didn't feel ashamed afterwards. It was a fall up, not a fall down.
Because I heard that someone laughing when they said that Shiva chased Mohini Murti. It's kind of laughing, like a little bit offensive. I mean, my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, we should be very careful. Even though Srila Prabhupada does call it the illusory energy of the Lord, we have to understand that when it's the Lord's energy working for the Lord's purpose, and especially with such august individuals as Lord Shiva, then we don't really like to make such a clear distinction between Yogamaya and Mahamaya, because they're working for the same purpose. Is that okay?
Thank you so much.
Archita Prabhu. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Prabhu, for giving a very interesting analysis and descriptions. When I was just considering this point of the concept of Mohini Murti coming down and create a balance, and obviously you mentioned the word, she was trustworthy. So bringing that concept to nowadays obviously doesn't work. We know we have the government, and we have they abide by laws in which they themselves, is sometimes we say it's a man-made law, and citizens, they can be innocent, they have the power, they have the money, they have the control. So it seems like there's no harmony. Now, if we bring it to our present situation as religious organizations, we also have that. We have laws, we have the books, Bhagavad Gita, or the Bibles. And still the same problem is there. You know, trustworthy, money, power, and everything. My question is, can it be possible, since Mohini Murti, physically, as it is literally speaking, came down personally, is not happening in our situation? Of course, we say the holy name is no different from Krishna. But still, the problem remains, even in religious organizations. So my question is, wouldn't it be in that case that to be safe of all these discrepancies, a group of pure devotees, will always assist any organization. In that way, you can trust, you can put your trust.
You know, sometimes we hear from the Ritvik quarter that there's nobody to trust. Basically, that's what it comes down to. The Ritvik position is that they don't really have faith in anyone. And I don't think that that's really so valid a position to take because of what Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita. He promises several places throughout the Bhagavad Gita that if a person is, I mean, to the extent, commensurately to the degree that one is purely seeking the Lord will make arrangements for him to find what he's looking for. And this is the thing we always have to remember. Krishna promises that, especially for his devotees. Name bhakta pranashyati, my devotees never lost. And if not externally, then dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. I will give them from within the heart the intelligence, the direction, the understanding that they need what to do in their time, place, and circumstance. But generally, he does provide the association of pure devotees. It's just that we have to make that decision. And that's, as I mentioned earlier, that's the most important decision we can make. But we do have to make it on this faith, I think, largely. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Eric?
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, I just thought of like an example of one time when Prabhupada demonstrated sort of the qualities of of pleasing speech. I just remember one incident where he was in India and there was like one temple. It was like it was like the Samadhi of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I believe, and he was trying to convince either his godbrothers or the people at the temple there to build some kind of memorial for him. And, they hadn't done it in ages and ages. And so he was saying, like, he was saying, isn't it sinful, not to. And so he was being really heavy with them, but at the same time, he was still taking, like, subordinate position. He was like, asking them submissively, based on philosophy, if that's really, like, the appropriate behavior. I just feel like it's, like, kind of beneficial to learn from these kind of examples,
That's why they're there. That's why the acharyas are there. That's why what does Srimad Bhagavatam mean? Srimad Bhagavatam. What does Bhagavatam mean? The word Bhagavata. Anybody know? Devotees. The devotee Purana. Srimad Bhagavatam. And not ordinary devotees. Srimad Bhagavata. Beautiful devotees. There's the book Bhagavata, and there's the devotee Bhagavata, but even the book Bhagavata is only about devotees. So ultimately, there's only devotees. Yesterday, I had a conversation with my godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu. We were talking about unity and diversity, and he was asking about the position of Srimati Radharani in terms of tattva. And so I told him that just as we have this Vedic mantra, Sarvam Kalu Idam Brahma, everything that you see, all this is Brahman, that's not really the devotee's vision, although that is the philosophical vision. The devotee sees Sarvam Kalu Idam Radha. There's nothing but Srimati Radharani everywhere. And Madhvacharya put this very nicely in his Dvadasha Stotra, where he says, Srishti, Sthiti, Pralaya, Sarga, Mahavibhute, Vritti, Prakasha, Niyama, Avrita, Bandha, Moksha. Yasya Apangalava Matrata Urjita Sa, Shri Yat Kataksha Balavati, Ajitam Namami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto that powerful, unconquered Supreme Personality of Godhead, by a mere glance of whose consort all these things are manifested. Creation, sustenance, disillusion, Srishti, Sriti, Pralaya, Sarga, the creation, Mahavibhute, the great wonders that we see in this cosmic manifestation, Vritti, the occupational engagements of all living beings, their dharmas, as it were, Prakasha, the enlightenment one can get, Niyama, one's restraint or discipline that one has, right? Avrti, when one is covered over. Bandha moksha, whether one is bound or whether one is liberated. All these things are coming from her glance. And she is nothing but the supreme devotee. Devotees are wonderful because they manifest some degree of Srimati Radharani's Shakti as parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. So, does that answer your question? Devotees. I'm not sure. I've lost track of your question now.
instead of just kind of excommunicating people, or like just because we disagree, or kind of like creating these kind of schisms and divisions, mm-hmm. if we could kind of learn these skills to kind of like stick together even when we disagree.
Strategic planning and strategic thinkers know that you have to include a variety of opinions in your group, or your group is toast. When you have a homogenous view within any group, that's a recipe for failure. You have to have a little conflict to keep the thing going. That's why we see in this Sumudra Manthan Leela It's, you know, there is an eternal and dynamic tension that exists everywhere in this, in any creation, even in the spiritual world, between those who accept and those who oppose. You know, in the material world, you're dealing with real demons, and in the spiritual world, you're dealing with devotees who disagree. You have only to read Brihad Bhagavatamritam to see that. So, therefore, we talk about these things, about the elements of trust and the importance of ethics and these kinds of things. Dharma, in a word. Dharma means bandhuta or sambandha, the science of relationships. And in any world you want to be in, in either maya that you would choose to participate within, you're going to have to deal with a relationship. So that's the idea there. Is that okay? I think it's getting late, so did you have a question or you want to finish? Yeah, when a person's principle is non-cooperation, then it's impossible to cooperate with them. Yeah, that's a fact. Okay, it's getting a little late, but you know, so I think we'll stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
So you're